Well, this is different. Haven't done this for a while, and I'm really nervous. Seriously. I am really nervous. I'm going back to a song I learned in Sunday school. Be careful, little hands, what you do. You ever heard this song? Be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Be careful, little hands, what you do, right? I got to be really careful what I do. Oh, my hands. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above scoping into your heart with love. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. And the one that always captured my attention was, be careful, little foot, where you go. Be careful, little foot, where you go. There's places someone hides. Just don't go there anyway. And there is, really, care needs to be taken. Because when you're talking about God like we are, today we're talking about what God knows. It's a very serious thing to be talking about God and then look up and find He's here. It can be kind of intimidating. So we're not going to do a lot of fantasizing about this. But we do want to find a, we do want to look at what God really said, what He's really recorded about this, and see what impact that has on our own lives. So I'd like you to turn to Psalm 139. I want to read this psalm. It's a prayer from David, and he is addressing this to God. And what he says, well, pay attention. There's a lot in here, and we're going to refer to this in a little bit. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 8, he makes there's a little parenthesis in verse 39. And he's saying, deal with men, deal with each man according to what he does, since you know his heart. And then there's this little parenthesis. For you alone know the hearts of all men. Really? Well, that's intimidating. So what does God know? Omniscience. Omni, all, science, knowledge. He has all knowledge. There is nothing can be known that he does not know. And he has always known it. Now we use the term know, K-N-O-W, you know? In fact, the you know little phrase has become a manner of stuttering for us. You know? Almost, well, you know, as we talk. You know, when we're talking, well, like, you know, weather, for example. And you know, it's beautiful today, but you know, later on it may rain, you know what I mean? You know. That expression, I mean, it's a tool for us to stutter. Perhaps it's because we really don't know what we're wanting to say. And so we fill in silence that is uncomfortable for us. You know? Have you ever been in a conversation in which the conversation just kind of died and it's really uncomfortable? Somebody should be saying something. I mean, I'm going to have to think if I'm not careful here. In the passage, there are some really interesting phrases in this passage at the beginning and the end. I want to bookend what we say with these words. Search me. What does that mean? Well, search me. Well, yeah, that's what it means. It means to look intently. In fact, it's kind of like an intimate examination where secrets are kind of brushed aside, and the real, raw truth is there to see. And what David is saying is asking, you have searched me. This is a process that God does. You have searched me. You have had this intimate examination of me. And you know me. You have known me. You've seen everything, and you have known everything that you have seen. Well, right away I thought, oh man, we got problems. Because I know some things in there that he sees that none of you ever have. And I don't want you to find out. But he knows. You've searched me, you've known me, my getting up, my lying down, my habits, everything I do. You can understand all of those. You distinguish their meaning for us when we cannot. You know all of this. There's in the King James Version, as I was going through this, there's a really cool word, compassist. You have compassist me, surrounded me. But that's really not the meaning of the actual word, compassist me. You've tossed. It means to toss about or to spread like straw. And I thought, what is that? I think this refers to all of the random acts and the random things that we do all the time. We don't even think about them. It's just kind of things that are tossed about in our life, and yet he discerns those. Sometimes, just the way we act and the way we behave, we actually describe ourselves. And other people can read that sometimes. And every once in a while, there is a connection that can be made where you can actually see, you actually know what the other person's thinking and actually could put it to words just like they would do it. Every once in a while, that happens. I tell my wife when we're driving that I can tell that driver ahead what the driver's going to do. Sometimes I'll describe it. Yeah, the driver up here is going to, in the next quarter mile, they're going to turn right. But they're not going to signal until they're already starting to make the turn. It's kind of mind-blowing when it happens that way. God can do that with everything. The things that we just are toss-outs for us, he knows, he discerns them. It describes us. In other words, we cannot not tell our story to God. Did you ever think that you could keep a secret from the Lord? I mean, yeah, we're thinking about this now, and we're talking about God's omniscience. And do you ever think that God doesn't know until you tell him? Yeah. See, I do that. Sometimes I even get, I think I'm a pretty good guy for telling God what's really going down in my heart. And I feel pretty good that I can be that transparent. He's known it all the time. He compasses our ways, my path. He's familiar with my ways. There is interesting because the original word here, it's not just he knows about it, he's seen it happen before. Familiar is he treasures it too. He sees it as a treasure. My ways, my way of life. There's a lot more positive there than I thought of him. He's not just there to scope us out and wait until we make a mistake and then just crush us like an aspirin in a spoon. He knows. Then we're introduced to something that's a little different, because his knowledge also indicates His action. My words you know completely before I say them. And then the Lord, I can't remember how it was expressed here. Oh yeah, you hem me in. You hem me in. I find it interesting that there's a lot of sewing and knitting things in here. But this is one where you hem me in. And basically the idea here is that you are putting restrictions on in front of me and behind me. You are, he is taking action to affect us on the basis of what he knows. In other words, he is a participant in what he knows with regard to us. God is an active God. And not only does he guide us by hemming us in, but he also has his hand on us. The hand on us is to protect, not to swat us down. The idea is to protect. So what about free will? Does that mean that we don't have a choice? We don't have any free will? We know God makes choices. I mean, here he is hemming us in, and here he is protecting us, and it's based on, well, I want to illustrate that in a second. But here he is active in what he knows, so that does that mean he's short-circuiting the free will that he created in us? See, this perspective of God, okay, sovereign, he's made us just the way he wants us to be, and yet he created us with a free will, and now as he is short-circuiting that and stuff, he can't do that. Well, he's not violating either. The thing is, we have a difficult time understanding that. In fact, that's one of those thoughts that is so precious for us that it is beyond our ability. But the thing is true that he is sovereign, and we do have free will. And what he does in such a way that he does not violate the free will he created. And he is sovereign. You'll learn a little bit more about his sovereignty next week, Lord willing. The knowledge is inaccessible, too wonderful for me, inaccessible. It's beyond my ability. It's beyond my potential. I cannot explain it. And there are many, many things about what God has revealed in his word that we can't explain. How do you adequately explain the Trinity? How about this? How about this potential conflict here between God's sovereignty and our free will? I mean, there's deep ditches on both sides of this in terms of what the truth of the Bible says. God isn't violating himself in any way, or us in any way, with what he teaches. But we can't quite handle it yet. Verse 16, all the things ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. There's quite an interesting list a little bit later on here that says, darkness is as light to you. You created my inmost being. You wove me together in the womb. My frame, referring to the foundational materials of which we're made, were not hidden from him, even though at the beginning they were unformed. You formed it all in a secret place. You skillfully we are skillfully made. You perceived my unformed body. I was thinking about this. In a dark place, nobody sees. Unless they do x-rays or something. An ovum is released. And it follows a prescribed path, confined space, dark space. One cell, large enough that it can be seen by the naked eye. And slowly, surely, it makes its way, the path that God has prescribed for it. It's part of the weaving process that the passage is talking about. There is the building blocks of the parent organism in the ovum, but it's not complete. And then the seeds approach. One ovum, and there's basically a seed for every human being in the United States. 350 million. Each one with some interesting material that can provide what is lacking and to complete the ovum to produce the animal, the living thing. And so here is only one of them, only one of them can join with the ovum to complete it so that it will grow. Now, in this confined space, in this darkness that nobody sees, and nobody actually probably even knows about this yet, the seeds surround the ovum, and one of them joins with the ovum to produce the first cell. God sees all of them. I firmly believe that the genetic structure of the ovum and the seed are put together in such a way that God's plan is achieved through the process. In almost infinite number of possibilities here, and one seed joins with the ovum to produce the creature. See, we're still trying to understand this. And in our culture today, there's a great, great deal of disagreement as to what happens. And there are some that say, well, when that happens, there is light is given off at that moment. No one can see it. And each one of us are formed in that fashion. Do you suppose that God knows enough to select the seed with the ovum, bring them together to produce you? And it's really kind of mind-blowing. If he had chosen a different one, what would you be like? You wouldn't be you. And so the weaving together that the passage talks about, God is superintending an amazing process. He is selecting, he is choosing among millions, hundreds of millions, to produce one particular cell that has the genetic structure that will produce the whole organism, the whole person. So here it is. an amazing concept. But that's not all. That cell continues to go, travel down until it reaches the womb, where it continues to grow. And it will, depending on the organism, it will come to maturity, and it changes everything about life is different when that happens. Because here is not simply the rudimentary foundational materials that are unformed at first, but there is the structure that God provides that forms it. And it becomes a human, or it becomes, well, an organism such as the parents. But just think about it. The environment of the womb forms the child too. Because as the child begins to mature and so on, the child can hear, the child can interact, the child can respond, even as it's growing, being knit together in the womb. Hemmed in. Some of the hemming in the Lord has done. And now the weaving of this child is taking place in the womb and continuing to grow. And a soul continues to develop. And all of who you are was there. But there's more. God, who superintended that, also superintended the environment of the womb. God has superintended the environment of the outside environment as well. So when the child is born, the environment plays a huge role in the development of the child. And God is involved in that too. God is involved in the development of the personality of that little rascal before they're born. And God is involved in the development of the personality and the abilities of that person after they're born. In working through all of the different variables of what it takes to produce this child, this person that God has in mind at the very beginning. Not only is it the genetic structure that he superintends, but also the environmental factors as he continues to weave this person. Chooses the family environment. Chooses the birthplace, the birth time, the culture in which the birth takes place. What God knows is all of this. And there wasn't a time that he didn't always know it. God has had interactions all of the time through all of our life, from the conception and before to long after our present day. It is, all of these factors are aspects of what God is doing in our life. And none of it has been a surprise for him. A lot for us. God knows, and he always has. And it's not over yet. It's not as if God has brought all of these things together and now all of a sudden in October 23rd of 2016, it's all done now. No. And frankly, it won't be done in 100 years. Because there's an aspect of eternity that he is still working on, that he is still preparing. That's how great he is. That's what he knows. And that is the intent of bringing us into existence in the first place. Not simply for our own enjoyment, not simply for our own wonder, but for Him. For Him for all time. So that when David says, "Your thoughts, O Lord, are precious to me. They're too numerous to count." We can't account for all of this stuff. Even the very, we're still learning so much about the little genetic things in the very beginning. And He has an infinite, variables that He has already considered. They're not variables to Him, but they're selection, they're design. So that we get to the end of this psalm. It's really kind of amazing how this psalm ends. Sounds a lot like it did at the beginning. When David says, "You have searched me, you have known me." But now he says, "Search me. Do your intimate examination of me. Leave no stone unturned. Know me. Examine me intimately. Know my heart. Everything that is there, even the gunk, even the bad stuff, even the stuff we would never want Him to know, and even some of the stuff that we have tried to prevent Him from finding out. Now, understanding who God is and what His design is, David saying, "Okay, search me. Know everything that's there. All the stuff that I don't want anybody else to know. All the stuff that I've tried to prevent you from discovering, God, I want you to know everything." As if we could prevent it. But David is saying, "You take over. Learn everything." And he says, "Try me. Test me like you would test a car before buying it. Prove me. Prove that my thoughts are genuine. Prove me." Okay. Now you see, in trying to, this is total disclosure here. And this is appropriate for us, isn't it, right now? Search me. Examine me intimately. See everything that is there. Prove my thoughts are genuine. Prove that I am authentic. And then determine or observe all the things in which I have offended you. See if there's any offensive way in me. Judge my tendency to offend you. Okay, we're not covering up. Full disclosure. We're opening up. Doubts. Weakness. The little ways that we profane our walk with Him. The insufficiencies. Now we are complicit with Him in addressing these issues. And then we are telling Him, the last phrase, "Lead me to the way of life that I will pursue in eternity." Because all of this that He's produced in us thus far in our life isn't over now. It doesn't end when we leave this earth. It is all preparation for an eternity, endless time, that we will pursue Him for eternity. That's what we're designed for. So here we are. Yeah, there's a little twinge of fear knowing that God is a perfect God. He's a holy God, as we discovered. And we may have to do business with Him a little bit differently now because of we understand how much He knows. But now we can say, invade me, God. Make me right. You said to be holy, I cannot be. You know. Come. Make me what I'm designed to be. Address the failures through the blood of Jesus. Address my shortcomings, my wrongdoing, in light of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And so in that fashion, know me and test me and prove me and eliminate the offenses and prepare me for my eternal relationship with you. Well, coming from David, now we're coming to the Lord ourselves. He has been here, actually, as He promised. And so in our own hearts, let's talk to Him as we pray. God in heaven, God who is here, You know everything. You know the hearts of all men. There is nothing hidden from You. And we wouldn't want to hide these things because You are the one who has the solution for all of these difficulties. Thank You that You know us so intimately that You haven't forgotten anything. And thank You that for the benefit of our redemption, You have sent Jesus to bear our penalties on the cross. Turn loose the knowledge of us toward the purification of our own self, redeeming us from the stuff and setting us free and preparing us for eternity in service to You. Thank You. Amen.